Now, a long time ago, when I was a bit younger, I used to take out these canoe trips. This is for a summer camp that the church used to run up in SCP or Minnesota. I used to take out canoe trips that were 4 days at a time in what were called the boundary waters. So between Minnesota and Canada, there's this stretch of waters that's really, really quite beautiful that has just amazingly clear pools, has a lot of country that you have to paddle to and then take your canoes and backpacks and everything and portage them up over hills, way back in. You dig yourself in so far, there's no motorboats and things like that. I used to take these out every summer, a group of teens. So teens would come to camp, like our teens, and we take these canoe trips into the middle of these boundary waters, about four every month, you know, so 4 days at a time. And I remember on one of these canoe trips, it was July 4th. So speaking of Independence Day, it was July 4th, and we were paddling our canoes in the middle of this big, huge lake. It was a beautiful day out, right? And so we said, wow, this is gorgeous, right? July 4th, let's do that. And so we were paddling our canoes, and then we started singing this song, America the Beautiful, right? So we just, obviously we didn't have a piano there either, but so we started singing that a cappella and a cappella. Never mind, sorry. No, okay. All right, so we started singing that song in the middle, and as we were singing it, this eagle, bald eagle, so America bald eagle, comes flying right in front of us and pauses and then flies away. And the only thing I thought is, nobody is ever going to believe this story, ever. But it's true. This actually happened. On the 4th of July, singing that song, this eagle comes, flies, and pauses, then goes off. And we were all just like, what just happened there? So quite a spectacular thing. Now, speaking of these canoe trips, there's one particular canoe trip into the boundary waters that I would like to talk about today. This one I call the canoe trip of faith because there's a lot of things that happened on this canoe trip that were amazing. So there's a lot of things that when you go back through this, the funny part about all of the canoe trips too was that there is really no backup. Like they would send us out there. We didn't have a radio, a cell phone, or anything. You get a map that says not for navigational use, right? It was just this kind of a approximate map. And so you had to kind of look and say, I think this is where this island is. I don't know. And you had to find your way. And miraculously, summer after summer, you know, with you going out with 8 to 10 kids at a time, nobody ever kind of got lost. I'm not lost. I got lost. But nobody ever did not get recovered. Let me put it that way. So, you know, people came back. You know, there was things that happened on trips sometimes and things like that. And this trip I'd like to tell you about today is a trip that I went on that a few things happened, and I call it the canoe trip of faith. So if you want a title, that's what it'd be, canoe trip of faith. Now, what I'd like to do as I talk through this story is just to give you a couple of simple things about faith. So it's the idea and a couple points about faith. So it's going to be 4 points, basically, 4 parts of this story. Now, the first part of this story is it's a 4-day trip. So the first day when we're going in, you start, you know, paddling. We have 2 canoes. So I was the leader. I had 2 assistants with me, and then the rest were teens. And so we have these 2 canoes that can fit about 5 each, sometimes 6 if there's a small person, and all of our gear. So they're quite big canoes, quite large, that you can sit side by side in and paddle. So we started out this canoe trip, and as we were going, the first day you paddle across a huge lake. And once you get kind of past this huge lake, it's where you have to portage in, which means pick all your stuff out of the canoes, put your backpacks on, put the canoes on top of you, and walk, you know, sometimes a mile or two with all this gear. And sometimes it's about 150 pounds worth. I know that I've had on me a few times, you know, doing about a mile and a half portage. So it can be, you know, it's a really great physical thing to do. But we were almost at the end of the first day. And we were getting to the place across the lake now to where we had to find our first portage. So it's very hard to find some portages. They're not marked. This is complete wilderness. Like you just kind of generally know it's in an area, and then you find what might look like a trail where people have been. Things aren't marked for you. So we were across the lake in the general area that we were looking for the portage entrance to the trail. Now, it was a bit shallow, and we couldn't quite see it. So myself and my assistant got out of the canoes and we were walking them. So we're walking around the edge just kind of trying to, because we have to kind of dart in and look and come back out kind of a thing. You wear tennis shoes when this is happening. But we were looking for this Portage Trail and couldn't quite find it. And as we were walking and the sun's going down, we're like, man, we need to get here. We need to get over this. We need to get to the other side because we have to find our campsite. My assistant, her name is Rebecca, slipped and fell. And what we were walking on was actually quite shaleish rock, right, which is very, very sharp. So it was very, very slippery. So she slipped and landed right on her knee, right on the top of her kneecap. And it split it wide open, basically. So you could see, you know, standing there looking at the inside of her knee, basically, is what happened. Now, we're, you know, finishing up the day, and we're going to a place when we portage in. There's no motorboats in there. So once we leave this lake, there's no motorboats. So we're trying to, so we had to pause, and I remember just thinking, like, I'm not sure what to do here, because, you know, I butterfly bandaged her up, and things, you know, the simple first aid stuff you do when you're out. But that's not going to hold, and it's a knee area. When you're walking, it's just going to open. So I remember going back in the woods and asked everybody else to pray as well, to go back and pray about this, because, you know, what do we need to do here? Because we can't turn around and go back across the lake, because it took us, you know, 4 or 5 hours to get there, and it's getting dark, and you can't canoe in the middle of the night. So we had to do something about it. So we all went back to pray, and I remember, you know, after just maybe 10 minutes, a motorboat comes, just starts driving by. Now, there's hardly anything out here at all. Once you leave this lake, there are no motorboats. But this one starts coming by, and I look, and there's two people from the camp that were on it. And they said, oh, yeah, we were, so I waved them down and said, hey, you know, we've got a hurt girl here. And they're like, great, let's take her back to camp. And they said, look, we were out fishing just now, and we would have already gone past here, but we decided for some reason just to stay and catch one more fish. So the timing of the whole thing was incredibly impeccable, because if they had not done that, they would have been gone. We would have never have seen them. But in a period of her falling, gashing her knee, us praying about it, a boat comes by, and she's on it and gone in 15 minutes to hold on. So when you look at that, we thought, wow, that's obviously, that's an answer right there from God. So one of the things I had to think about as we were there is, how does this relate to faith? So what part of faith is this? Now, the first part, what I want to give you in each of these points is something to avoid and then something to add when it comes to faith. So I'm going to talk about it on both sides. So the first thing to avoid is this. We find in Matthew 6, verse 30, if you want to turn there. Matthew 6, verse 30. In fact, there's four of these points here. Each one of them have something where Christ is talking to the disciples, and he says to them in the subject of faith, oh, you of little faith, why did you do this? As in, that thing affects your faith, or when you are doing this, it's not showing great faith, or it's of little faith. So I'm going to give you the avoid parts, and then I'm going to give you something to add. The first avoid is in Matthew 6:30. It says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? The thing that he says there is not to worry, or another word that we have for it today that's more common is anxiety. Having anxiety, which in this case is talking about what to eat, what to drink, you know, what to wear. And I remember being on the trail, and I had a lot of anxiety. You know, as the leader of a group like that, you think, like, what do we do here? And you're responsible for all what's going on there. I mean, we weren't in good shape with that. So I was worrying, you know, and if you think about it, it's a natural condition to be in as a human is to worry. But Christ says, why do you worry about these type of things, oh, you of little faith? One of the first things to avoid then when it comes to faith is anxiety. So anxiety, just this obsessively thinking about, worrying about, trying to think through, and just everything is stressful, and how's this going to work, and how's that going to work, you know, and just to turn that down, as Christ says, because Christ identified that as something that will get in the way of your faith. So the first thing to avoid is anxiety. Now, that boat came at the right time. Fortunately, on that trip, I usually don't have two assistants, and that one I did, so the next person, another girl, filled right into the slot, and she became the assistant. In fact, we still talk to this day because of the rest of the trip. You know, on Facebook every once in a while, she says, you remember that canoe trip, which was quite amazing. So the first thing to avoid then is the anxiety. Now, what is the thing to add? What is the thing to add? Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, you want to notice something here. This is talking a lot. There's a word that's repeated here a lot. Please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see a lot of words in there that are him, he, God. They're all over and that. The thing to understand or to add is the understanding of this. Because a lot of times we feel like faith is something, a feeling, or I've got to, it's something that we just do. But faith, no. Faith is, as it says here, faith is towards a person always. You are having faith in somebody. And in this case, it says he, him. Who is that? That's referring to God. God as in the Father, but also Christ there as well. The first thing to add is the understanding that you are having faith towards a person. It's not a nebulous feeling. It's not, something you drum up or some, I've got a lot of faith today. You are placing your faith and confidence in a being. And in this case, you are placing your reliance on somebody who will come through for you. Right? Who will come through for you. And you have to 100% understand that about this being. Now, the hard part is it may not be like you like it or the direction you think it. And that's the hard part many times is because you say, he must not be doing something for me. It must not be working out. But you don't know that. The faith is that in that personage of God, that he has your best interest and will work this out. And it's going to be a way you don't know and you don't think. I can guarantee you that. If you think you have it figured out, you don't. If you think you know how it's going to unfold, you don't. Because it's going to be something that's going to be individually crafted for you. Let me tell you, say that. But this is about a relationship towards a person. Faith isn't just about, hey, I'm keeping laws or, as a step just to obey by itself. But as you see that's written here about faith, the word he, him, and all of this is talking about a relationship. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship of trust, if you want to think about it. But it's always towards a person. You have faith in a person. So, when you feel like you're growing, do you feel like you're growing in a relationship better with God and Christ? It's a good test. It's about the relationship. It's not about you just doing things, obeying or doing some laws just to do laws. This is you growing in confidence with that being and how he operates in your life. That's where faith gets built. Now, one of the problems that gets in our way, though, I think a lot of times is, our past experiences with people that we clearly see in front of us, right? That could be family. That could be, things that have happened in your life with people. That's easy to get into the way, get in the way or to cloud that, right? It can cloud that very easily. But if that's there, if that's something that clouds, then this is something to think about growing in. A lot of times people say I have a hard time praying because it, reminds me of my dad or it's hard to get rid of that. That is something to pray about and to talk to God about. He gets that, but he's not going to be the same as your dad was. Or whatever happened in your life. And so this is something that we can start to shed and let go and realize that I'm building a relationship with that person. And again, it's with that person. It's not necessarily with your fellow Christian. You're not having faith in your fellow Christian necessarily. It's for faith in the being that is God. We can let our fellow Christians increase our faith, but A lot of times, we don't speak for God correctly sometimes, I think. I think we analyze things, look at them, judge them, and say things to people, and we don't know. Where God may be working something out differently. And it's like the example of Job, right? Job had things that God was doing, and guess what? 3 people out of 4 did not say the right thing. And God said, I'm sorry, you did not say the right thing about me. You're not speaking correctly about me. And one did. I don't say that to be discouraging for us to encourage each other, but it's not. The person next to you is not going to be the one you're developing your faith with. You develop your faith with God as a being. Even if your life goes a direction you did not expect or think, that's where you develop your faith with, is that being, not what other people say about it and what your situation is. That's not what faith is. So if they speak correctly about God, great. They're on the page with God, but that's not, don't worry about some of that sometimes. It's to develop a relationship. Like I said, faith is towards a person. And what that is going to be unique for you. It's different for me. I never expected 3/4 of the things that have taken place in my life. It's going to be unique for you. Paul's life was different than Timothy's, was different than Stephen's. He went out quickly. Was different than King David's, was different than Barnabas's. If you want to like cite a lot of different things in the Bible, you can see every single person's life was crafted differently. You develop that relationship to trust that you're having faith in the God that's doing that for you. So it's always towards a person. So the thing to avoid is the anxiety of all these things. The thing to add is the understanding that your faith is always towards a being, and that being will do the right thing for you. Now, on with the canoe trip story. Now, the next day, after all this took place, and we got in and we got set up for camp, we all slept in, and it was kind of a rainy day the next morning. So, you know, we got up and we got kind of a late start. So if you ever know, like, camping and tents and stuff, when you get your tents all soggy and everything's all wet, and, you know, it takes a little bit longer to move around, to get things packed up, shaken off, you know, dirt cleaned off, and those type of things. So the next morning we got up, and we actually kind of got a late start, but that was a problem because the second day's journey was the longest one. It's a brutal 12-mile paddle. So average day is probably 7 to 8 miles. This was 12, almost 14 if you go certain ways, upstream. So this is not the day to start late. This is not the day to, this is the day to get an early start, and this is the day to just give it everything that you have to get that far in a single day. So for all the things that took place, we actually got off a little late. And so if you look at the time it takes, it would again put us into our camp too late, like way in the night. Like we're paddling, and if the part, it's not just you can't paddle at night, you can't see where you're going at night in these areas a lot of times. You can't navigate, you don't know which channel to take. It's a very, very, and it's dangerous too. It's dangerous to tip over in those conditions. So we were looking at that saying, wow, this, you know what, this looks impossible. It actually looked impossible. The time that I know that trip takes when you start, when you get there, is more than 12 hours. That would have put us, you know, past 9 or even approaching 10 o'clock. Because we didn't get out there until, I think, 9 or something like that. Now, we were looking at saying, wow, I'm not sure how we're going to do this. How do we do this? And once again, as, you know, as a small group of people, you know, pray to God about it and asked, can you help with this? Because this looks impossible. And what was interesting is, there is a wind that picked up, right? That started, that was pretty strong. And there's a reason for that wind. But a wind was starting to pick up and starting to go through. And we thought, oh, this, look at this. And it was going our direction. So we sacrificed a couple paddlers, or one paddler in each boat. We took a couple paddles, and we had these ponchos and things, the rain ponchos. So we tied them between the two paddles, and we stuck them up as sails in the canoes. And next thing you know, we were actually traveling almost twice the speed we normally do when we paddle. So we had people paddling and we had sails going, and all of a sudden we came out the other end of that 12 miles early, actually early. So we thought, oh, that is quite fascinating. Going to be late, cannot see how this is going to be done, to actually early is what it ended up being. And so that, you know, impacted all of us as well. So on this idea, what is the thing that we avoid here? What is the thing that we avoid here? Turn to Matthew 14, verse 30. Matthew 14, verse 30. Matthew 14, verse 30. I'm breaking in the middle of the story. This is Peter walking on water. Says, Jesus walking and Peter following him. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Now, the idea here is that what you physically see, what Peter saw, he looked at. Instead of looking at God himself, who was saying, you can do this and follow this. So the thing to avoid here, as Christ says, is doubt. This is another one of the enemies of faith, is doubt. When you doubt, and usually when you doubt, is when you look at the physical things that are around you. When we look at the canoe trip, how long it's going to take that day. When we look at the paddle, when we look how late we are, it's easy to doubt that we're actually going to make it that day. And what Christ says is, oh, you little faith, don't doubt. Put that aside for now. You may not see how this is going to work. And we couldn't, but it worked. We actually got there, like I said early. The wind was with us. And, you know, there's a couple of things that were there for us. So the first thing to think about when we think about this is to avoid, Christ says, is don't doubt. Peter gave us the example. He looked at the physical waves that were around him. It says here that they were boisterous, right? Christ is saying, you can do it. He saw Christ do it. He actually was walking, Peter. But he took his eyes and put it on the physical, and then he sank. And if you think about that, that's exactly what doubt does, is if you just look at the physical things, you will doubt many times. Because things will be lined up for you to not believe, not to see how it can work. But you don't know. Again, you don't know how it will be. So, what do we add? What we add is found in Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. Let's turn there. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. So put away doubt, and let's add this. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And what this is telling us is faith is about the unseen, focusing on the unseen, not the things you see, but focusing on the unseen. Now, what are the unseen? Because it says here, it's the evidence of things not seen. How do you have evidence of something you don't see? The faith is, if you reverse that statement, if you focus on the things that aren't seen, the evidence of you doing that will be your faith. Just reverse the sentence around. If you're focusing on the unseen, you'll see it come out in faith. What are the unseen things you focus on? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are much greater reality than the physical in front of you, right? If there's, you know, the leg of the trip seemed impossible, but that's because physically it was, looked like it, but it wasn't. Let's drop down to Hebrews 11, 13, verse 13. Here's one of the things to look at and to focus on that's unseen. This is a faith chapter, and it says, these all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This you can't see today. You cannot see the city. You cannot see the kingdom. But there is one that God has prepared for you. This is one of the things that is invisible, that as you focus your mind on it, that your faith will be shown, or it will come out as faith. The evidence of you focusing on the unseen things will result in faith. The kingdom is one, and I know I've talked about this before a lot in the past, but you have faith in not only the kingdom, but you have a king that's there. There is a kingdom. There is a king that you can call upon. And you have been pulled out of today's, this world's kingdom. You've been transferred over, and you have been put into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Today, you are part of that. You can't see it, but that has taken place to you in your life. You're no longer under the jurisdiction of this world's kingdom. You have been placed under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. That, if you think about that for real, what the ramifications are, this is not you drumming up something. This is you saying, I belong to this kingdom. I call upon the king of that and to intervene in my life. It's that authority and that power that you're part of, that you're a member of, you can claim. It's like I said before, you know, you always see in the movies, you know, somebody's running from, in another country, running from a bunch of people. And where are they running to? And there's cars flying everywhere. They're trying to get to the embassy. Because the embassy is like, once they kind of burst through the doors, they're safe. It's the exact same thing, if you want to think about that, is that you have a kingdom, even though you're part of this, in this other foreign country, you're part of this kingdom. It doesn't have jurisdiction over you. You can run to the embassy. You can claim it. And if you focus and think about this, it's not you. It's you, part of a power that rules this. The God rules that. The kingdom that's there is the laws that are there. The name of the king of that. All of the jurisdiction of that, you belong under that. So it's not a matter of you drumming up something. It's a matter of you seeing that reality. The more you see that reality, the more it comes out as faith. Think of it like that. So that is something that is invisible. The authority that is there is something that is in place as well. You know, and if you get people stepping out of their authority, you know, in a marriage or something like that, there's an authority above them that you can call upon and say, you know what, they've got your back. This is how the chain of things works. So when we start to think about focusing on the unseen, it's things like this, the jurisdiction that it has in your life, the kingdom as a reality, you part of it, not subject to these type of things, and you can claim those things as you need to. That's a very powerful thing. It's a very real thing. You have faith when you think about those things and focus on the unseen things such as that. Those are the things that faith is based on. So focus on unseen things. There was a couple unseen things with us on that canoe trip at that time. One was the wind. You can't see that. But God directing the wind. Right? There's a couple unseen things there, how it all worked and came together. And you know what? We made it. It was great. It was phenomenal. So, you know, that would, by itself with a canoe trip, would be enough. But wait, there's more, because that's not all there is. In fact, the assistant that I had went on another canoe trip. And you know these maps they give you, like I said, they're really hard to navigate. Well, she was lost. She had no idea where to go to in the port, and she was starting to panic. It was a cloudy day and everything. And so she told me, she said, I actually prayed one time, you know, God, please help me find the way. She said, this has literally happened. The clouds opened and the sun came down on the area on land where she needed to go. Because she went there and that was it. She's like, okay, that was it. Which is quite amazing. All right, so that these type of things actually happen. Now, we made it there that night, exhausted. You know, it's a long trip. So what we did is we had this really great campsite that we camped at. Now, we set all of our tents up. Like I said, the wind started blowing before. So we set our tents up and secured all of our stuff. You know, you set your tents up. Now, the canoes, one of the practices I have for the canoes is I would take both the canoes and I tie them together with rope. I tie them to a tree and I put them on the side of a rock ledge about this high is this lectern right here. So they're wedged in there, right? So they're not going to go anywhere. So you secure your canoes, you secure all your gear, you hang all your bear bags up because we're in bear country, right? You put all your food up in the sky and all this kind of stuff. So great, we're all set and we're all going. Now, that night, as we were going to bed and as we were paddling or looking, there's weird shaped clouds in the sky. To me, it looked like a big fish bone, right? It looked like a flayed fish bone with, you know, the ribs coming out and stuff like that. I thought, I've never seen a cloud like that. It's really odd. So that night, we were all climbing our tents, and man, that wind just started howling. You could just, our tent, so I'm in a tent, and I get my own because I'm the leader, but yeah, I'm in a tent, and it's going all the way down to the ground, like completely onto the ground and back up, like the wind was blowing so hard. You can hear stuff kind of outside all of a sudden going places, and man, lightning started. Man, you just hear this lightning, and then trees started falling. So I don't know if you've ever been in a tent when you have trees falling around you, but it's not a relaxing night's sleep, because you're laying there and you hear this, and you kind of cringe. There's nothing you do, right? Because it's over in 2 seconds. But this started happening. I thought, man, what kind of a storm is this? Like, this is unbelievable kind of a storm. And man, you know, you can lay there in fear. You can lay there and think, wow, I'm never going to make it out of this. So let's turn to Matthew 8:23. Here's the next thing to avoid. Christ says, and this is a great example of it. Next thing to avoid is Matthew 8, verse 23. Actually, 24. Matthew 8:24 says, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. Man, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat with huge waves. That is one of you have no bearings with your legs. Things are going around. Well, Christ is sleeping. He's down the bottom sleeping, right? And then his disciples came to him and they woke him up and they said, Lord, save us. We're dying. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was calm. So the thing to avoid here is being fearful, as he says. This is one of the things that can easily get in the way of your faith. Christ says it's fearful. Now, it's easy to be that, especially like when we're laying out there in the tents and you hear all this stuff happening, lightning and trees falling and things like that. It's very easy to be fearful. But have you ever been in a situation like that where you just say, look, it's either all or nothing. Either God's going to let me die or not. So why not just say he's not? Or I will accept it. And have you ever just let your fear completely go? It's quite interesting because Christ says that can get in the way. You can easily just get consumed by that fear. And it can overwhelm you and just become something that's in the way of you actually showing faith. Like the waves in their boat were real. This was a real big storm. But there's no need to be afraid or fearful, is what Christ is saying. Now, we woke up the next morning after this storm. And here's where it gets interesting, because I went out and looked, and man, our stuff was all over the place. Our food bags and things. Now, I went down to where the canoes were, and I'm looking, and I had to rub my eyes because there's one canoe there. I was like, and the other canoe, not only was down there about 5 or 6 feet, it was up over here across the other side of a bush. And I was like, how did it get there? The wind actually picked. I mean, these are not light canoes. I think they're about 225 pounds each. Picked it up, put it right on the other side over here on this bush. My other canoe was missing. I thought, what in the world happened here? And we can't go back without two canoes. We only have, you know, so many people. So I started to look around. I was like, everything was everywhere. So we just started cleaning stuff up. Now, luckily, I looked in the water, and the canoe had not only come off that tree, but it was upright and about a quarter mile down the, on the over on the across the lake. And I was like, how did that happen? So I walked around and, you know, retrieved it and came back. So we were packing all this up, and I said, man, that was some intense storm. And we all got in our canoes, got it all loaded up after a while. You know, after it took us a while, and started paddling. And next thing you know, we're looking around, and man, one place we stopped, and we counted 57 trees snapped off at the same place, in one place. And these are not small trees; these are trees like this. So what actually happened was, there was a tornado, came through where we were camping, basically around that area. Did not even know it, in the general area, because when we started canoeing, you know, it's just across the lake, another place. We started seeing all of this chaos and damage and trees that were snapped and falling. We were like, there's nothing that can snap 57 trees right in, like, through an area. They were just clean, you know, all down the ground. We thought, oh, man, not only were we intense, but we slept through a tornado, basically. We didn't sleep. Trust me, I didn't sleep. But we went through a tornado in a tent, basically, is where we ended up going through. And I thought, wow. That's incredible, because you just don't survive that. So what is the thing to add here about this? The thing to add is faith is not about not having difficult or messy things in your life, but it's about navigating messy things. This is the thing to learn here about the canoe trip, is that, you know, it didn't like, oh, God just made the tornado go somewhere else. It went through, but he protected us. We went through the tornado. We got our canoe back. We got back in all safe and everything. It's not about not having something messy or difficult, but it's about navigating messy and difficult. There's a difference. In fact, I worry sometimes about people who will talk about everything's going great as if they have faith. Because not to downplay that, because there's times where you're going to have times of peace and things, or just appear that everything's going well, because the Bible says opposite. If we look at Hebrews 12:5, let's turn there. Hebrews 12:5 tells us something about this. It says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." The Bible actually says, if you're a son of God, and the word, the language here to me is a little harshish, you know, the way it's phrased in the English where it came from. But, you know, it's the idea that, you know, you're going to have some difficult times, and that is, if God loves you, those things will happen at times in your life. to bring you to a certain place, not just because he's punishing you like the world's view of God is he's just up there angry and you do something, he punishes you. If God loves you and wants you in his kingdom, there's going to be times that are going to be very rough, that feel rough and hard, you're going to go through. That's if God loves you. If you don't, then he's saying you're illegitimate. So the Bible actually says opposite. So I don't think it's a great idea for us to spend all our time trying to portray how wonderful everything is. It's also good for us to talk about, hey, this, you know, has been difficult, or be open about those things, the hard things of life, because God says that this will happen for those whom he loves. This is going to be in your lives. So it's not about not having the messy. But faith comes in when the messy happens to navigate it. How do I navigate through a tornado? I don't know. But the faith comes in. The tornado was there. It wasn't taken away. The storm was there with Peter. It wasn't taken away till he fell. All these things are boisterous and around us. It's not the absence of those things is faith. It's the opposite. I don't know if I can say that clear enough, because sometimes we think that, hey, let's portray how great things are, because that's not what necessarily how life is going to work. It's going to be difficult, hard times sometimes. Not all the times. And faith is built navigating those things. How else is it going to be built? Let's turn over to James 1, verse 2, and it tells us this. James 1 and verse 2. Faith is something that it has to be stretched. You know, if you want to put on muscle working out, you have to work your muscles to where you stretch them, you push them past what they're normal doing. Otherwise, they don't next time rebound and grow. You don't just kind of basically do things. You actually have to really push it. And this is the same when a trial happens. It pushes you past. It's not just something, hey, I can handle this. It might push you past even your breaking point. But that is how it's built. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And it goes on to say, if you lack wisdom, etc., you know, ask for it. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Right? In verse 6, ask in faith. Don't doubt. Because you doubt, you're like a wave of the sea driven and tossed. Right? Don't be double-minded is what it's saying. Just believe and ask. But we see here that the testing of your faith produces things. Here, it says patience. It says other things in other places. But it must be tested. Tested means, hey, how much can you lift? How much can you handle? Let's test. And, oh, okay, now it's grown. You know, over a year or two, I'm testing that. I can learn a lot more. I understand a lot more about you and where you're at. And that's the idea that's here. So what we find is it's not about the lack of messy things. That's not you having faith. You having faith is when things are messy, you navigate those. You rely on God. You figure it out. And you know what? Some of those messy situations can turn into things you just don't know that are good. I've seen that happen plenty of times. Something looked like a wreck, and next thing you know, it's a really good thing. Like this canoe trip. You would think, man, that was a disaster. But it was actually one of the most bonding things that we did with that group. Right? And like I said, I still have conversations here and there about that these days. So it's not the lack of things in life that are messy. It's navigating the messy things. Now, let's finish up the story. As we were coming out, you know, we're looking at all these trees and devastation things. And I thought, wow, that is unbelievable. And as we got to the place where they come pick us up in the vans and things, the trail is just a simple portage, about 20 minutes. You have to haul all your gear out. Well, across the trail were a massive trees. Like there was one tree from the ground up here in diameter like that. That's the kind of, like I said, it was a tornado actually knocked trees like that completely down, just completely over, that were not dead trees. They were living trees, completely uprooted, you know, kind of a thing. And so as we were trying to, you know, get out of there, what would normally take 20 minutes, man, we had to take, you know, canoe and push it over the top, climb over. It took us 2 hours to get all of our gear, you know, just up and over and around to the other side. And I thought as we ended that trip, and if I were to reason to myself, I'd say that trip shouldn't have worked the way it did at all. On a human physical level, that should not have worked at all, right? So turn to Matthew 16, verse 7, and we find the next thing to avoid that Christ talks about is exactly that. Matthew 16, verse 7. Matthew 16 and verse 7. It says, they reasoned among themselves. I'm breaking the middle of a thought. Is it because we have taken no bread? And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith. Again, he says, you don't have a lot of faith. Why do you reason amongst yourselves because you brought no bread? And the idea here of reason is the idea of, think of it as like human reasoning. So you as a person just, hey, I reason this is how it is and how it will work out and what I should do or not or what this means on a human level. And Christ says, if you rely on your reasoning, a lot of times we think we're right in how we do stuff and what we're approaching with people or things, and it's not right. We're reasoning ourselves, and it's our own human reasoning. By all reasons, this trip shouldn't have worked. If I were to look at all the pieces of it, it should not have worked at all. We should have been late days. We should have a hurt person, a whole bunch of other things. Me reasoning about it and explaining that stuff would not have worked, but it actually did. Now, that is the thing to avoid, is the human reasoning part. Now, what do we add? What do we add here? This may sound like a tangent, but it's not. The one thing to add here is one day there will be a judgment. One day there will be a judgment and a judgment seat. Because why do I say that? Because our human reasoning, a lot of times, can see and think something is a certain way, or it looks like things are happening a certain way, or, you know, the things are happening in our governments or in our local church or with things or people. But there are a lot of things that we actually don't know. A lot of times people can appear to be righteous, sound righteous, but it doesn't matter. Because turn to 1 Timothy 5:21. One thing to put your faith in is to be very forward-looking on something, and this is one of those things to be forward-looking on. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. It says, some men's sins are clearly evident. That means you know. You can see. You can see when something happens. You know, things happen, pregnancies, divorces. You can see things if it's not a correct thing. And a lot of times we jump on those. But the Bible says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men will follow later. That is saying there are actually other things that you don't know about that will be called to judgment one day. And that is something that's important to have faith on, because as things unfold around you, sometimes it's easy to stumble on this. It's easy for us to dip into our human reasoning and start fighting, politicizing things or making factions. And it doesn't matter how many people a person can get on their side. There's a day of reckoning, of a judgment seat that will clarify things greatly that you can have faith in. So God cares about that. God does not care about that, you know, oh, hey, I got a bunch of people to believe a certain thing. Or I can portray a certain thing, or I can come across a certain way. Things will be shaken out one day. That's a future-looking thing. That will happen 100%, and God's very righteous judgment will judge things. Not how it's slippery today and how it's ambiguous today in some ways. Very righteous judgment will happen, and things will be clear. Like it says, you see some things obviously today. You're not going to see some until the judgment comes later. So I put that in there because it's easy for us to dip into our, like I said, our human reasoning and see like things are unfolding a certain way or look a certain way, when that's easy to do. And even take it into our own hands or try to do it on a human level. But important to understand, too, one day there will be a judgment when these things, you can count on that. That's actually something that should give you good, great faith. Even if you're done wrong or the nation's doing certain things or, you know, people can't see certain things or even in a local church or whatever, there will be a day when judgment and those things will be called into account and judged righteously, and some things will come later that we see. So that is something that we can have great faith in as well. So at the end of the trip, shouldn't have humanly worked out. If I reason among myself, none of that should have been. But you see here, this is why I call it the canoe trip of faith, right? Because there's no other way that could be. There was a being that was helping us there, that was answering these things, that was giving us a push when we needed a push, giving us a rescue when we needed a rescue, giving us protection when we're in the middle of a tornado, didn't take it away, but gave us the protection and helped us get home safely, and also defied what we thought actually could happen, defied human reasoning. So as we think about faith, obviously, I only have 4 points. There's probably 4 million points around faith, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop there because that's enough to start to think about. As we think about it, the first thing to do, avoid anxiety and add into your thinking that faith is towards a person. Forget the anxiety. Faith is towards a being that has your best interests. Avoid doubt. Avoid doubt when you doubt, because doubt is what seeing things physical many times, how it looks like it's going to work, doesn't look like it could work. But focus on the unseen things, the kingdom, the power, the king that's there. You're part of that. The authority that's there. Focus on the unseen, and your faith will be shown by that, or it will come out. Also, avoid fear. Avoid fear, which is so easy for us to do. And know that faith, when we're afraid, isn't the absence of all this messy stuff in life. It's navigating the messy stuff is what faith is. And lastly, avoid human reasoning, us just thinking everything is a certain way. And, you know, we've got it figured out or we're going to play that. And know that one day there will be a great judgment that will sort all of these things out for us so we don't have to. So anyway, glad to share with you on this story. And I hope you find, you know, I find it strengthening and I find it one of those life experiences that you just never forget. And, you know, I always like to call that the canoe trip of faith.